Romans chapter 14, beginning with verse 5, and read through the end of the chapter. I want to review a little bit who a brother is. Not every saved person is a brother, because not every saved person is seeking to do the will of the Father. They're not even trying to find out what the will of the Father is in the first place. And so I want to share some verses along that line. In Matthew chapter 12, and I know that it's not in our outline, but I want to read from Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother. Doing the will of the Father is a brother. A brother has a desire to do something. And that desire is to have an entrance into the coming kingdom of our Lord. In Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 21, it says here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. There's a difference between seeing the kingdom of God and entering the kingdom of God. If you're born from above, you can see the kingdom of God. Moses left Egypt, wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, and he saw the promised land. He did not enter into the promised land. What does it mean to enter into? It means to enjoy the blessings of and to receive the inheritance that God promised. Moses was denied that. And so was Aaron. In fact, all of the adults from 20 years and upward were denied entrance into the land flowing with milk and honey. So the point is this. A brother is one who is seeking to enter the kingdom of heaven. And to enter the kingdom of heaven, one must be doing the will of the Father. And as far as I'm concerned, to do the will of the Father, one must know what it is. And that requires studying. In Mark 3:35 is another passage of Scripture that can give a little more light on that. For whosoever will do the will of the Father, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. In Luke 8:21, again affirms who a brother is. In Luke 8:21, and he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brother are these which hear the word of God and do it. And we have discovered here in our studies that the word of God is the butterfat in the Scriptures. The word of God pertains to the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You find that in this passage of Scripture in Luke 8 and in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. What was the sower sowing? He was sowing the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so therefore the Word of God pertains to the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And God hasn't given all of His kids ears to hear that truth. That's all there is to it. He told His disciples, He says, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom and not to them. So, anyway, this passage of Scripture here is dealing with, Romans 14 is dealing with a brother. There are strong brothers, and there are weak ones. There are those that are strong in the faith, and there are those that are weak in the faith. And this passage of Scripture is warning us about causing a weaker brother to stumble, to fall, to be offended. And we will, and hopefully I'll be able to get down to these verses. Let me just say this. You know what? The Lord's going to take out of His kingdom all that offend and that are lawless. This has to do with saved people. If you offend a brother, the Lord said you might as well, or it would have been better for you to have had a millstone tied around your neck, and you can swim the English Channel. Or drown, in other words. But the point is this. There's a warning about offending one who is trying to enter the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of heaven. That is, to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. And you don't want to cause him to stumble and to quit. Now, in Romans chapter 14, verse 5, it says, "One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Days are really days that you observe and think are special, and days that we might not think are special, is not really an issue. This is not something to make an issue over. And if a brother thinks that the Sabbath is Sunday, and he is not easily convinced that it isn't, forget it. It's no big deal. It's not something that you want to burden this guy down with. In other words, every time he sees you, he sees that you're going to be coming to him and trying to convince him that the Sabbath is on Saturday and not Sunday. And I've had preachers that reverence Sunday as the Sabbath, and the only thing they would buy on Sunday is their utilities. They didn't turn off the power at the switch box or turn off the water or the gas. You know what I mean? So, but in other words, don't discourage a brother over minor things. That's the point. And of course, this deals with food as well. Food and drink. One guy's going to esteem one day above another, and a stronger brother esteems every day alike. In other words, I personally would encourage you to live every day alike. That, to me, honors God. If you're going to honor Him, and of course the ceremonial law or the law of Moses does not come into play. Because if it came into play, we would not be here. Because we've all probably traveled more than a Sabbath day's journey to get here. And of course that was part of the law of Moses, that you couldn't travel but so far. Anyway. So, and by the way, this esteeming is a continual thing. In other words, it's not just simply it's something that they practiced and they did all the time. In other words, the word, one of the things that you'll find, as we have found, is that when you see ETH on the end of a word, it's usually in the present tense. Believeth. It's in the present tense. Believeth, many times, is a participle. But here, esteemeth has ETH on the end, and it is in the present tense. Okay? Now, in verse 6, he says, "And he that regardeth," again, present tense, "the day regardeth it unto the Lord." In other words, here's a guy that thinks the day is a special day, and he's doing it as unto the Lord. And that's not bad. That's the point he's trying to make. Don't make an issue out of that. Because if you do, you're going to discourage him. All right? "And he that regardeth not a day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, For he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and gives God thanks. So who is getting the praise and the thanksgiving? God is. Regardless of what we are doing, because observing days and observing foods, is not a sin. Of course, we're not under the ceremonial law. I'm reading right now in Leviticus, and I'm reading about animals that are good to eat and those that aren't. Some of those animals I've never heard of before, so I don't have to worry about those guys. And I'm not under the ceremonial law, and we know that that's been changed in the New Testament. But anyway, then in so both can thank God, regardless of what we observe and what we eat. And then in Romans chapter 14 and verse 7 through 9, it says, "For none of us liveth to himself, or no man dieth unto himself." In other words, we're living, and we're not living to ourselves, and we're in the process of dying, and we're not alone. For whether we live or we live unto the Lord, and whether we die, we're dying unto the Lord. Wherefore we live, whether we live, therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. The point here is this to me. Whatever your preferences are, the whole idea is that we are the Lord's. Okay? And this guy that may be weak in faith is still the Lord's. You may be strong, that doesn't make you any more the Lord's. It just means that you have a little more, you're a little more relaxed in your life. There's freedom and liberty. And yet we are not to use that liberty to cause someone to struggle or stumble and fall. Because one of the things that we need to remember in verse 10 is that we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Brothers are going to stand there and be judged. In verse 10 it says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or what dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." This word "set at naught" means to despise. Look down on a brother. We should not be looking down on each other. What is the plan? It has to do with edification and building up and encouraging one another. Why do we meet? So I can observe you and you can observe me. For what purpose? I want to provoke you to what? To love and good works. That's what I provoke. That's a pretty strong term. I don't think that we need to use any muscle to provoke each other, but we can sure set an example to encourage other people to love and good works. In fact of the matter, if you don't have love, you know what? Faith doesn't work. Faith works with love. And if you don't have love, and you move a mountain by faith, so to speak, you've accomplished nothing for the Lord. So, remember that we should not be judging the Lord. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, "For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not thereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then every man shall have praise of God." In other words, we're not to be judging one another in minor things. Now, the Bible judges people for blatant sin. That's not us judging. If you're living in adultery, that's the Bible judging you. And, of course, God warns us about living in sin. So we need to appreciate the fact that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things that we've done in our body, whether they be good or evil. And we're going to receive for both of them. We're going to receive for the good, and we're going to receive for the evil that we have done. Now, we will give an account. Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We need to appreciate the fact that we're all going to give an account, and there's no need in calling somebody on the carpet early. Okay? We're going to give an account to the Lord, and the Lord's going to bring, of course, we just got through reading, the dark things, the secret things in our life to light. And unfortunately, that's not going to be much fun unless we have been walking in the light as He is in the light and having fellowship one with another, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin and also confession of sin as well. Now, Paul says, consider this in verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Stumbling block. A stumbling block is where someone is tripped. And we are not interested in people falling. Satan is the one who wants to put us down. I just think about in battle. If you're down, you're at a disadvantage. And we do not want to cause our brothers to stumble. And the word occasion to fall, that's the is also translated offense. We don't want to offend our brother. Just thinking about those who receive the word of the kingdom, Matthew 13. They receive it with joy. These are the ones where the word of the kingdom is on the stony grounds. They receive it. They believe it, present active for a while. And then when they are offended because of the word, they fall away. That's what falling is all about, is abandoning the truth that you received with joy pertaining to His coming kingdom and entering that coming kingdom. And ruling and reigning with Christ. Because, beloved, if you make your brother fall, you're going to be disqualified from ruling and reigning yourself. Let's continue. Matthew 18:3. This has to do with the little children. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children. And I associate these little children as brethren. Ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. A brother is one who is seeking to enter the kingdom of heaven. And little children, paideon and technion, if you study that those words through the New Testament, you'll find that they're a unique group. And they're the ones who are seeking to enter the kingdom. And you offend one of these little ones, well, Matthew 18:6. Whoso shall offend, this word offend is scandalizo, from which we get the word scandalize. If you offend one of these little ones which believe in me, that's in the present tense. That has to do with being faithful. Believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. It'd be better if you didn't live and do that. That's the point. The consequences of offending someone who is seeking to do the will of the Father. We'll find out in a little bit. That's what Peter was doing to the Lord when he said, Don't you go to Jerusalem to be crucified. We'll see that in just a minute. Let's go on. Now, verse 14 tells us that Paul was persuaded by the Lord. And he was using the Lord Jesus as the proof or the reason to make changes in your life. In other words, if you esteem a day one way and not every day alike, and you esteem certain foods and so forth, you know what? The Lord expects you to make some changes in your life. But you know what? We as maybe a stronger brother should allow a weaker brother time to make changes instead of trying to get him to change instantly. And in fact, if we get people to change, you know who gets the glory? We do. If God changes them, who gets the glory? God does. And that's what we want to see. And how do we help people to change? Is by teaching them the Scriptures and letting the Holy Spirit apply the Scriptures. So, Paul says in verse 14 of Romans 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing clean, unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. And the Lord allows people to esteem or actually reckon, count it as unclean. But there should be, where does the influence of the Lord Jesus come in? That's the point, I think, that Paul is saying. I'm persuaded that none of it is unclean. And where did I get that persuasion from? The Lord Jesus. That means that those that are weak should be listening to what the Lord has been teaching or would teach us. Now, in Romans 14, verses 15 and 16, to offend is to destroy. If thy brother be grieved, present passive, with thy meat. And the word meat here is actually solid food. It's not flesh. There's another verse in this passage in Romans 14 that talks about flesh and wine. But this is solid food. In other words, if you're eating poke salad or turnip greens or beets causes your brother to offend, don't eat that. Then it's not just necessarily flesh, okay? It says, goes on, he says, now walkest thou not charitably in love? When we're walking with our brother, are we walking with him in love? Or are we looking down on him or despising him? It says, destroy not him with thy solid food. And the word destroyed is the word apolumai, to perish, to cause him to perish, to cause him to lose his life. What life? The life in the coming kingdom. That's what I associate it with. Because only those who have life can lose life. If you're dead in your trespasses and sins, you're not going to lose your life. But if you are saved, and you know about the kingdom, and you are seeking to do the will of the Father to enter that kingdom, and you don't, you'll be like Moses and Aaron and 20 and up. They perished where? In the wilderness. They did not enter the land flowing with milk and honey. They did not get the better inheritance. Okay? So we don't want to cause our brother to perish. And by the way, by our liberties, what we can eat and what we can do every day. So, what is the exhortation? Let not then your evil or your good be evil spoken of. Now, in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, the kingdom of God is not, and that's an emphatic not, that's ooh and not me. Is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the point is this. Entrance into the kingdom of God should not be based upon what we eat or drink. It should be how we live. Are we living a righteous life? A separated life? Are we living in peace? Is there joy from the Lord in our life? Well, that's what the kingdom is all about. In other words, we're living right now, we're living in the righteousness which is of faith, we're having the peace that passes all understanding, and we're living in the joy of the Lord or the strength of the Lord. Now, verse 18 tells us that we need to serve God in these areas. Let's read verse 18. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. What is acceptable unto God? Serving Him in these things. What things? We just got through reading them in verse 17. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Now, verse 19 tells us that we need to pursue peace. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, things wherewith one may edify another. In other words, we're not to be creating division, we're not to be creating strife in the family, in the fellowship, but we're to be creating peace and harmony. Now, it's not, like I said last Sunday, it's not the fact that we can't offend somebody. Jesus offended people with what? Doctrine. You can offend people with doctrine, but you sure don't need to offend people about what you eat or about the days that you observe. And so we need to be following after. This is present active. This word follow after means to pursue. In fact, it's translated to persecute. The way I like to present this, the thought on this word, to follow after, is to pursue with malignity. To pursue with intent. And we are to do that with peace and edifying one another. That should be a passion for us to establish peace. In fact, in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace. And this word follow is the same word as follow after in Romans 14:19. And it's to pursue with malignity peace with all and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. How important is peace? Very important to the Lord. In fact, in 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow or pursue with malignity after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. We're to pursue the righteousness which is of faith and to live godly. And faith and love and so forth. So it's the man of God that needs to pursue these things. In fact, Peter gives us an attitude about the things that are around us in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verses 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And so therefore, if we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth, in which we are doing, we're waiting for that time to happen, it's obviously going to be at least 1,000 years from now, but we're looking for the time when the Lord is going to come and establish His kingdom. And in the meantime, I need to be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And it's interesting to note when Paul is writing to individuals like Timothy and the personal friends or personal disciples of his, he uses the expression grace, mercy, and peace. To the churches, it's grace and peace. But to the individuals, you'll find it grace, mercy, and peace. And notice what comes before peace. The grace of God and His mercy. You need both. And when you go to the throne of grace, before you get grace, what do you need? Mercy. You go to the throne of grace because the Lord's there. And you obtain mercy. And then you find grace. And then you have peace. Okay? Now, in Romans chapter 14, verse 20, it says, "For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense or causes others to fall." What is the work of God? Well, in John 6:29, it tells us that this is the work of God. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom the Father has sent." And this word "believe" is not in the aorist tense. The work of God is not getting saved. The work of God is not getting born from above. The work of God is to believe in the present tense. It has to do with faithfulness on your part. Believing what? Believing who God is and who the Lord is, because that's who sent Him. And so the work of God is believing in the present tense. It has to do with faithfulness. Now, back to Romans 14, in verse 21, it is said, "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." Stumbling is a process. Offending is a process. Being made weak is a process, because all of these are in the present tense. Nobody falls flat. Nobody is offended immediately. And no one wants to be weak. It's a process. And we don't want to continue that process with a brother. Now, when we think about not eating or drinking to cause our brother to stumble, I thought about Luke chapter 9, verse 23. "And He said unto them all," His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow cross daily and follow Me." You know what? We need to deny ourselves. Why? To help other people. If what we're doing is causing others to be offended or discouraged, if we're going to follow the Lord, we need to be denying ourselves certain privileges that we might enjoy, being strong, so that others might be encouraged. This is where I was telling you about Satan or Peter and the Lord. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 22 through 23, it says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, that this not be unto thee." Jesus is talking about going to Jerusalem to be crucified. Peter took him aside and said, "Look, Lord, we need to change plans. We need to go south, not north. In other words, you don't need to be going to Jerusalem." And He turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind Me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto Me." A part of offending a brother is to discourage him in doing the will of God, or the will of the Father. And you know what? Satan is in that business. And Satan will use a stronger brother to defeat a weaker brother. He will. Who is it that sowed the tares among the wheat? Same thing. And it says, "Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And you know what the Lord said to the goats? By the way, goats are holy animals. Goats could be used in the Passover. So we're not talking about lost people. Most people want to put the goats on his left hand in hell for eternity when they are saved. And it says here in Matthew 12, chapter 25, verse 40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them," that is the goats, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Now the reason why I'm presenting this to us this morning is this. You cause a weaker brother to fall, who are you dealing with? You're dealing with the Lord. You're offending the Lord. You're not making Him quit, obviously. But when you minister to a weaker brother, you're ministering to the Lord. And we need to appreciate that and use that as an incentive to encourage a weaker brother. Romans 14:22 has some pretty strong words. "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth." Can you get the point? Can you get the picture? Here you've got all this liberty, you're a strong Christian, and you can do all of these things, and your poor brother that's seeking to do the kingdom, who's weak, he stumbles and falls and perishes. He loses his life in the coming kingdom. You know what you've just done? You've just condemned yourself. You've just caused God to bring judgment upon you. It would have been better for you not to have lived long enough to cause a brother to fail. Those who are offended are out. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 41, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do lawlessness." That's anomia, it's iniquity, anomia, lawlessness. And so what should we be doing? Well, Romans 16:17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses, contrary to doctrine, which ye have learned, and avoid them." If a brother is causing you to stumble and fall, you need to move over. You need to move away from people that would cause you to be offended. And of course, the last verse in Romans 14, "He that doubteth is judged. If he eat, because he that eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And of course, what is not of faith? Well, I'm using, I found Galatians chapter 3, verse 12. "The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." When I think about days and meats and food, and I think of the ceremonial law. And the ceremonial law is not of faith. And a weaker brother is one who is influenced by the ceremonial law. Touch not, taste not, handle not. They observe days and months and feasts. Don't destroy them if they do. Okay? But you know what? The Lord expects change and maturity and growth. That's the reason why we find edification in this passage of Scripture as well. In other words, we want to edify. We want to build up. We want to teach. We want them to be persuaded by whom? By the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of what I believe you should be living like. There's a lot of people that are making you feel like, as we would say down in Chattanooga, an egg-sucking dog. You don't do what I do. And you know what you do with an egg-sucking dog? You don't teach him new tricks. You just shoot it. Because you cannot break an egg-sucking dog. May God help us not to be one of those. Father, I just pray that you'd help us to be careful of the way we live among those that are seeking to I stand in your presence approved and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord. Help us, Lord, not to cause them to stumble, to quit. Help us, Lord, to evaluate which takes priority. Certain doctrines do take priority, but there are certain things that don't really mean that much. And we shouldn't let it, we should not take them too seriously and to give a brother room to change. Father, I just thank you again for your word that gives us counsel and warns us so we don't make some mistake that's going to cause us to be judged. Again, thank you for this time of fellowship. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.